a move to address concerns for workers misclassified as independent contractors in Pennsylvania. And the Hershey Bears are on the verge of claiming their record 13th Calder Cup. Welcome to The Morning Agenda, WITF's daily news podcast, where the only agenda is you. A good morning to you. It is Monday, June 24th. Hope you had a great weekend. This is being recorded at 5:23 a.m. I'm your host, Tim Lambert, as we take this daily trip around the region's top stories together. A new state house measure aims to address concerns over workers who've been misclassified as independent contractors across the state. Julia Frazier is with our friends at WESA in Pittsburgh, and she reports it would also bolster enforcement of existing labor laws.
Rosalind Gilliard works as a delivery driver for a national retailer. As an independent contractor, she thought she'd have some flexibility. But the app the company uses to assign deliveries controls what delivery opportunities are offered to her.
They have not taken into account any of my ideas, thoughts, opinions. Nothing's ever been asked of me.
Gilliard is one of the more than 250,000 workers in Pennsylvania who are misclassified as independent contractors when they're really an employee. It impacts customer service workers, truck drivers, retail workers, landscapers, and security guards. These workers are often not paid minimum wage and overtime pay. They lose eligibility for unemployment compensation, health insurance, and workers' compensation.
So this new bill would define an independent contractor based on whether an employer exerts control over a worker's tasks or if this is an independently established business controlled by the individual. It would also add investigators to the Department of Labor and Industry to help with enforcement. Outside of L&I's 27 investigators, Philadelphia has their own labor law enforcement office to investigate such claims. Allegheny County is working on setting one up. Governor Josh Shapiro is trying to drum up support for his proposed investment in agriculture innovations. My colleague Ben Wasserstein reports they could affect the agriculture and energy sectors.
Dickinson College is home to an 80-acre farm that uses an anaerobic digester. It converts waste into biogas, and according to Assistant Director Matt Steinman, it's fairly easy.
Just mix some cow manure with water, warm it up, and keep out the air. Anaerobic digestion will happen, and biogas will result.
The biogas is then turned into electricity that fuels the farm. Shapiro's budget proposal calls for more than $10 million to be earmarked towards agriculture innovations such as the digester.
Now, with bipartisan support, the state house recently sent a proposal addressing Shapiro's plan to the Senate. A similar bill is being proposed in the Senate by Republican Senators Ryan Aument of Lancaster County and Elder Vogel Jr. of Beaver County. The agriculture industry brings in around $132 billion to the Commonwealth annually. Pennsylvania is getting another $29 million in federal funding to clean up abandoned mines. And Anahy, with our partner WPSU and State College, reports the projects also promote economic development.
Sharon Buccino is the principal deputy director at the U.S. Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. Much of the coal mining in Pennsylvania, she notes, was done in past decades.
The companies aren't there, and a lot of these sites, they left behind the pollution after they mined. And so the abandoned mine land program is designed to address those past, those legacy pollution sites.
The abandoned mine program, known as AMLR, was established in 2016 to address problems like clogged streams, dangerous piles of mine waste, and polluted water. It's also aimed at economic development.
Now, some of the past projects have included the Morgan Run Recreational Facility in Clearfield County and the Anthracite Outdoor Adventure Area in Northumberland County. Buccino notes Pennsylvania gets the most money because it has the most abandoned coal mines of any state. So on this Monday morning, when I got into the office at O'Dark 30, I went through about a dozen news sites across central Pennsylvania, just looking for a few stories to put on your radar to start off this work week. So here they are. More than 200 Democrats have had a chance to hear First Lady Jill Biden speak in Lancaster County. She held an event at a Millersville University Hall last night on the eve of the second anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision that repealed Roe v. Wade. That ruling effectively gave states the power to tightly restrict or ban a woman's right to an abortion. Pennsylvania is considered a swing state that could help decide this year's election in November, with 19 of the 270 Electoral College votes needed to win the presidency. Second Gentleman Douglas Emhoff and Governor John Shapiro are among the dignitaries marking the groundbreaking of a new structure replacing the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. That's where 11 worshipers were murdered in 2018 in the deadliest act of anti-Semitism in U.S. history. Plans for the new complex include a cultural center, sanctuary, educational center, and museum, along with a memorial to the worshipers from three congregations who were murdered on the Sabbath morning of October 27, 2018. The new design is by renowned architect Daniel Liebskin, whose previous works include Jewish museums, Holocaust memorials, and the master plans for the redevelopment of the World Trade Center after the September 11th attacks. And the defending AHL champion Hershey Bears have moved within one victory of the record-extending 13th Calder Cup title. The team can claim its second straight cup on home ice tonight in Game 6 at the Giant Center. The Bears rallied to beat the Coachella Valley Firebirds 3-2 in Game 5 on Saturday. Now, if a Game 7 is necessary, it will be Wednesday night in Hershey. Now, as you know, The Morning Agenda is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts and on WITF's YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to. We are also on the NPR app. And if in any of those places you can leave a review or a rating about The Morning Agenda, we certainly hope you do so. And I hope you also check out our Spotify playlist. It's called The Morning Agenda Song of the Day, June 2024. And I'm going with one of punk rock's most influential bands, Fugazi. Waiting Room is my song of the day. That's going to start your work week off on the right foot. Trust me. And that's going to do it for The Morning Agenda, a daily news podcast from WITF, where the only agenda is you. I'm your host, Tim Lambert. Thank you so much for listening today. Your company is always appreciated. Be well. Enjoy the rest of this Monday, and we'll talk again tomorrow.